Oh, what's happening, everybody? Rise and shine, an early Saturday morning edition of Crossed Up, a Phillies podcast. Anthony Sanfilippo's here. I'm Bob Wankel, and Anthony, we watched the Phillies go out to San Diego last night, and I'll use a word that you used while we were talking before the show. They abused Musgrove last night. Joe Musgrove was pummeled by the Phillies offense, 9-3. Phillies now 3-2 on their three-city road trip, and I guess you have to feel pretty good about the way this is going. And I know that was sort of the theme of our last show, but they are playing good baseball right now. There's just one small problem as you look up and see them at 17-10 this morning. That team down south, the Atlanta Braves, just they won't lose. Just will not lose this team.
Yeah, the Philly, but here's the difference between this year and the last 2 years, Bob, is the Phillies are keeping pace with them. Right. In the past 2 years, at this point, the Phillies would be seven games out and we'd be sitting here like, well, geez, you know, they're either got to catch up quick or, you know, let's start talking about the wild card. And then by mid-May, we're talking about the wild card. The one difference between this year and the last two is the Phillies have hung in there. The Phillies have had a pretty strong start. I think there's only two teams or three teams in baseball with more wins than them. And so having the start that they've had, they've been able to hang in there with the Braves so that maybe when Atlanta, if Atlanta has their swoon, and they will have one, they're not going to be playing at 700 pace baseball for an entire season. Maybe the Phillies can jump at that point, jump on them at that point. But for now, there's not a lot to complain about with the Phillies right now. There's individual things we can get nitpicky, right? But for the most part, the Phillies are playing a really, really strong brand of baseball.
They sure are. I mean, they're on a 102 win pace right now.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say this. I don't want to use the word concern. Concern would be an over exaggeration. But I do wonder if Atlanta can continue to play at the pace that they are playing at, and they are when it's all said and done, 105 win team, which is where odds makers kind of thought that they might land. I mean, odds makers coming into the season really like the Braves and for good reason with that offense. Is it possible that the Phillies sort of get caught in this middle though? Like we watched each of the past two seasons because of the wretched starts that they had. They really had to play good baseball and be accountable from June on. You know, it wasn't like that they got in on the last day last season. They were pretty comfortable by the end, but entering September, they needed to play good baseball to ensure that they were going to be a postseason team. Is there a world where the Phillies are going to track 95 wins or maybe even better this season and realize, hey, we might not win this division? And then they just kind of get caught in this like weird limbo where it's like, we know we're in, we're very comfortable, but we're not going to really win a division here. So we're just, I feel like that creates a really weird dynamic for a team as you get into the second half, if in fact that's how it were to play out.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. I don't necessarily know how early that's going to happen though, Bob. Right. I mean, I think that the Phillies are on a good enough pace. And again, I don't think they're going to win 102 games, but at the same time, they might exceed our preseason predictions.
You know what is interesting though? If you go back now to basically the beginning of June of last season, so June, July, August, September, 4 months of the regular season last year, you're basically at one full month in at this point. You're talking about a 5 month stretch of baseball now where this team has played at 100+ win pace.
Yeah.
So, like, do they have that in them? Like, maybe that's a good question. Can the Phillies win 100+ games this season as currently constructed?
They believe they can. I think it's, and look, the big question is, you know, when does the regression, if it happens, when does the regression happen for the pitching staff for starting
right.
pitching? I mean, that's the thing you got to look at them because they're putting up otherworldly numbers right now as a starting rotation. Got another really good start from Nola last night. And so things just keep rolling there. I don't know. I have a hard time thinking that they're going to stay at that pace. And so that's why I think that they might drop off just a little bit. But the question is, you know, will Atlanta have a similar drop off because their pitching's not as good as the Phillies, right? So, you know, they've won some games that have been, if you look at what Atlanta's doing, and they're a fantastic team, but they've won a number of really close games early in the season where they've had to pull, you know, they were down and had to pull it out, or game went to extra innings. They had to make a great defensive play to save it. And that's what good teams do.
Yeah. They had a goofy one against the Marlins on Wednesday night. Yeah. Extra innings.
I mean, so you have those games that the Phillies aren't really playing, right? Yeah. When the Phillies are winning, the Phillies are pretty much winning. Like, they're pummeling teams. Now, granted, Phillies have played some weaker opposition, but I think getting through now the last five games, you look at it and say, okay, they're on the road. They put a good Cincinnati team in split in Cincinnati, and they started a three-game series against a good San Diego team by beating the hell out of them yesterday, right? So, I mean, right now you get to say, oh, yeah, they beat up on the Rockies and White Sox. They did, but they're also playing well against better teams too. So let's not, you know, they're doing what a good team is supposed to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, we talk about the Phillies having a weak schedule or a weaker schedule at this point in the season. But if you look at the strength of schedule right now, the Braves have one of the easiest strengths of schedule to this point. So the combined win percentage of their opponents right now is 450. That's 29th in baseball.
Yeah.
The Phillies, meanwhile, actually, nothing great here. They're 20th overall, 478. So I'm not saying that there's this massive disparity, but the storyline can't be, well, Atlanta's going through a bunch of world beaters here, and right, the Phillies are beating up on a bunch of cupcakes. Like, I would argue that seven games against a pretty good Reds team is a factor. We've seen that the Pirates can play competitive baseball. You know, and I know it's really about the Rockies and about the White Sox, but the Braves had the White Sox as well. They've had the Marlins here recently. So I do think that the schedule has been, I would say, about the same for these teams. And in fact, if you just look at it statistically, the Phillies have had a harder schedule to date. So take that for what it's worth. It's interesting to me. I mean, you obviously know about the Braves offense. You know that if you look at most statistical categories, they're going to be number one. They're number one in average. They're number two in on-base percentage. They're number one in slug. They're number one in OPS. I mean, they're really good. But you think about the Phillies' start and how bad they were for the first 2 weeks of the season offensively, and they've done a nice job kind of getting back into this thing. Remember, you go back to the Pittsburgh series, Howard Eskins asking about slug, and, you know, and Rob says, we're going to slug, and to his credit, yeah, I mean, like, he basically called the shot. I mean, Phillies are fifth in slugging percentage right now, behind only the Braves, Orioles, Dodgers, and Brewers. So they've really jumped up the board here with a 412 slugging percentage. You look at team OPS, they're sixth overall, tied with the Diamondbacks, who got off to a hot start. And even average, we talk about the Phillies not being a high average team, a lot of boom or bust, but they're eighth in batting average right now, 254 as well. So the offense is really starting to kind of come around here. We certainly saw that last night. They went nuts. I mean, just, it was a home run barrage. I just look at it, and I'm starting to feel like, you go up and down the lineup, and you remember about 10 days ago, 14 days ago, you're like, damn, a lot of these numbers in the box score are ugly, ugly. A lot of bad batting averages, a lot of guys not doing anything in terms of power. You look at the box score after last night's game, and you start to say to yourself, okay, this is starting to even out a little bit now. This is starting to look a little bit more like what I had expected. And I think that when you just look at the overall trend of this team, do I think that they're going to win 102 games? I don't. I feel pretty good, though, about that 93, 94, and there might be even a little bit more in it. And yeah, I don't want to get carried away after a win against the Padres. It's easy to get on here when things are going well and sort of maybe puff them up a little bit, but this is a good team, man. It really is. And I feel pretty optimistic about where they're heading.
Well, it's hard to not feel optimistic about where they're heading, Bob, because the more than anything else, it really, to me, you know, it's tried and true in the history of baseball. I don't care what era, I don't care what statistics you want to use, or how you want to look at it. If you have great starting pitching, you're gonna win. Right. You're gonna win games, and you're gonna be a contender for a championship. And right now, I look at the Phillies rotation, and I think that the top three guys are as reliable as any top three in baseball. And then you have guys behind them who have pitched really well. I mean, who knows how long Taijuan Walker is going to be in the rotation, but Turnbull has pitched well in his stead. Christopher Sanchez has been a little bit more up and down, but he's not been bad. He's been better than average. And so you look at it and sit there and say, this is a rotation, man, that is reliable for the most part, and they're going to get you far. I was just looking at some stuff on Fangraphs before the show. I want you to go along with this on a couple of categories. All right. Their team ERA is 2.18, second best in baseball, best in the National League. Only Boston is better, believe it or not. And they're kind of a mediocre team.
This is a starting rotation.
2.18. And then the third place team is Kansas City at 2.89. It just goes to show how much of a disparity there is between your top team, the top two teams, and then what's third. Okay. If you go to batting average against, best in baseball, 186. Okay. Even Boston, who has a better ERA, is 214. So we get a 28-point jump there. On base percentage against, 252, best in baseball. Slugging percentage against, 289. Best in baseball. I can go on too. If you look at strikeout to walk ratio, is pretty high. Their strikeout rate, 26.9%, best in baseball. The strikeout to walk is 19.4. Just so you know, I just looked it up. They're tied for first in baseball. Their WHIP, 0.98, only team in baseball under one. I mean, it's fascinating that how good they are.
And they're doing it with a high volume of innings, too. It's not like we're not doing this with the Blake Snell model where it's five and out. You know, we're 161 innings deep into games. Yeah.
161 innings. Best in baseball. Right. Like, they that's the thing. It's they're doing it so well and for an extended period of time. Yeah. This isn't a small sample. I mean, it is in the grand scheme of things, but the reality of it is they're putting together a special season so far.
Yeah, they really are. And I mean, certainly you feel optimistic about that. And then you kind of go back to the hitting side of it. And, you know, I'm rattling off, they're top eight here, top five here. And one of the other things that they've worked their way into a top five is home runs per game. So, I mean, they're only behind Baltimore, Milwaukee, and Boston right now in home runs per game. They're actually out homering on an average basis, the Dodgers, a team that we just thought built the best offense of all time. So you look at this and the reason I point this out is because they're still only 13th in runs per game. So that suggests to me, when you're looking at all these individual categories and you look at some of the track records of these guys who haven't fully gotten going yet, like Bryce Harper, would you say Bryce Harper's had a big month this month?
No.
No, but he's tracking like a 36 home run pace and he's missed a handful of games. So that to me is where you can kind of maybe there's a little bit of optimistic projection in this, but you start to look at these guys on an individual basis and you go, there's more here. And I do think when it's all said and done that they're going to be a top 6-7 scoring offense as well. So I expect that to kind of climb here over the coming weeks. That's where I kind of get excited. I think that this is the most complete team that they've had by far. One thing that we definitely have to talk about is the Turnbull Walker thing. But before we do that, I do want to get into the bullpen a little bit because we're rattling off all these sensational numbers right now about the starting rotation and how good they've been. And it's taken a lot of pressure off of this bullpen to perform. But I have to say, I've been a little bit underwhelmed by what we've seen here with this bullpen. And I know you like the bullpen. I like the bullpen as well. I think it's a top five bullpen, at least on paper. I even go back to the season preview episode. I said I felt like they were going to get off to a little bit of a slow start, but I thought it was going to be because the Phillies were going to be conservative with the starting rotation. They had some depth issues in the bullpen. I thought that they were going to throw a lot of innings. It was going to kind of wear them out, and they would struggle early before hitting their stride. Well, they're struggling early, but it's not for that reason. What do you make of this bullpen overall right now?
I think that a lot of what you know, when people look at like the team bullpen numbers overall and you see a higher ERA and you know, some other numbers that are concerning, I think that they need to be contextualized. And you know, you are looking at smaller samples because it's smaller number of innings. But at the same time, like, I also think there's only a couple of guys that I'm concerned about, right? Like, are you really concerned about Alvarado, for example? I mean, he went blow up opening day, and it was a bad blow up opening day, to 9 consecutive performances where he didn't give up a run, and then he had gave up one run in the last one. And so his, but his ERA is 5.59, right? So you sit there and go, oh man, his whip's 1.241. Well, that's not good. He's walking too many guys. And he is. He's got 7 walks in 9 2/3 innings. But again, that was, a lot of that was that opening day thing. It takes a while to get away from that. So I'm not concerned about him. I'm not concerned about Hoffman. Hoffman's been the same as he was last year. Matt Strom's been even better than he was last year. Orion Kerkering, 4 2/3 so far, has only allowed one hit. I mean, so he's been really good. The guys that have been concerning are Dominguez and Soto, and they're rightfully so that you have concern about Dominguez, although he did have a clean ninth inning last night, as they're trying to get him right in lower leverage situations. But they're the two guys. And so you look at it and say, okay, if you can get one of them back on track, at least, if both, great. But if you get one of them, you still have a pretty solid bullpen, a pretty strong bullpen in my mind.
It's so strange when you dig into the numbers, and I'll do with the bullpen what you just did with the starting rotation, but you go by ERA right now. Phillies relievers this season have a 5.85 ERA. It's the worst in baseball. I mean, that is hard to figure. And one of the biggest problems has been command and consistent command. If you look at walks per nine right now, the Phillies are the fifth worst team with 4.39 walks per nine. And so that's been a big part of the problem. But you still see the upside. Let me give you two things here real quick. I don't want to, you know, number everybody to death. But if you just go by fielding independent pitching, Phillies are 11th in baseball. So, like, what I like to do is, like, I'll take fielding independent and I'll take ERA. And I'll say, like, all right, I don't swear by either number. I would say you try to figure out the middle ground. So, like, when I look at the Phillies bullpen this year, I would say it's probably been average, like an average bullpen. It hasn't, to me, been the worst bullpen in baseball. And certainly with that context, I would agree with that. At the same time, like, there's more here. You dig into, like, K per nine, they're top five. They're striking out 10.12 batters per nine innings. They're tough to hit. You know, there's a lot of plus stuff in this bullpen. I'm surprised that it hasn't caught up yet. I'm surprised that the numbers haven't started to kind of skew back to expectation after 27 games. So it's one of those things that I'm monitoring. Like, you talk about Dominguez and Soto. I agree. Obviously, Brogdon had a couple rough appearances. He's no longer here. You had a couple Pinto blowups. Like, yes, you can contextualize it. When you think about the first month of this season, how many losses would you pin on the bullpen? I would say opening day.
Yep.
And I guess I would say game three against the Reds this past week.
Yeah.
I would say that those are the two games that the bullpen sort of lit on fire.
Yeah. And I think that's fair.
And I'm not handing out a trophy for that, but I do think contextually the bullpen has done a pretty good job. Now, there have been some annoyances along the way, like big leads that kind of get a little bit dicey late. We've seen that a couple times, you know, mop up duty, things kind of get out of control. But I really do think when the Phillies are saying, hey, we're going to try to protect the 2-run lead, here are our guys, more often than not, they've gotten it done. And I still feel pretty good about that. The Dominguez thing is troubling. I believe he did throw last night, right?
It was one inning in the ninth inning, and it was three.
I checked out after the seventh. Two young kids under two. You gotta pick your battle. So
but it wasn't anything to really talk about. I mean, he did strike out the first batter, which was good. It was a good at bat, good at bat for him. And then he got two flyouts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything. It was,
but you know, that's where it's got to start. He's not going to be a high leverage guy for the foreseeable future unless they're in a pinch. And I mean, that's where it has to get rectified. They've talked about the slider trying to get more break on the pitch. He's working with grips. That's a tough thing to figure out on the fly, on the go. And you can just tell he's just not comfortable right now. So you hope that he can string together those 3, 4, 5 straight appearances and start to build some momentum, because he's just not been able to really do that now, dating back to last season.
Correct. And that's why I said, when you point out how high their ERA is and how, you know, where they rank in the game, I mean, when you look at it, Dominguez is 8.68, Soto's 8.22. And then you have Ricardo Pinto, who's not long for this roster for maybe 24 more hours, 10.97.
Yeah.
You know, once you bring Walker back in, I got to assume that he's the guy that goes out. I got to assume. I can't imagine that.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Right. So I mean, you take him out of the mix, and you know, his the 10 2/3 innings of you know, that he lit on fire. And you're probably looking at a much different bullpen number on those numbers that have them ranked towards the bottom.
All right, let's talk about the rotation and what's going to happen here beginning Sunday with the return of Taijuan Walker. This has obviously been a very popular issue. I mean, maybe outside of the Kyle Schwarber hit leadoff hot button topic, this is probably the other one. Taijuan Walker, what do you do with this guy? I believe, is a lot of nuance to how you handle a situation like this. And so I think the first thing that we have to do is sort of peel through all the layers of that and then maybe talk about what you would do. And I know that you wrote about this very topic this past week at Crossing Broad. So I definitely want to get your thoughts and have you expand on that a little bit. To me, it's tough because forget about Spencer Turnbull for a second. Forget about how good he's been, because that's a whole different issue in this conversation. Where I struggle with the return of Taijuan Walker is that I don't, like most people, get real excited about the thought of his return. You see the velocity numbers. You see what happened at the end of last season. All of the early blowups. It kind of wears you out a little bit. It's hard to get excited about that because you don't feel like any time that he takes the ball that there's a tremendous amount of upside. And in fairness, he had a stretch last summer between June and July where he took the ball about 7-8 times in a row and was damn good. I mean, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball over about a quarter of the season statistically last year, and people totally forget about that. Like, when we talk about Taijuan Walker winning 15 games, the conversation is immediately like, well, pitching wins don't matter. And he was totally lucky. He was the beneficiary of absurd luck and run support, and that's how he won 15 games. That's only partly true. I mean, he did go out there and throw the ball pretty well for them for stretches last season. Obviously, though, when you look at the entire picture, there's a reason that he did not pitch for them in October. So there's that. The other part of it, though, is certainly the contract, 4 years, $72 million. You're on the hook for another three seasons at $18 million per year. That's a consideration. Whether or not you want it to be, it is. There's also the part of this that I think is truly important, the part that people, I believe, overlook the most, which is they like this guy. He's a good teammate. If you're a professional baseball player and you're in a clubhouse and you know that this guy got hurt, is it fair for him to lose his job because he got hurt? I wonder how guys in the clubhouse take this. Do they look at it and say, yo, he ain't that good. Spencer's really pitching his ass off right now. It's kind of bullshit that we're not putting the best guy out there. Or are they looking at it and saying, Taijuan Walker's a pro pitcher. He's been around the block. He's a good dude. We know that he can throw the ball a little bit. It would be bullshit if he didn't get a shot to come back into this rotation. And I do believe that there are a lot of guys in that clubhouse that would feel that way. And I think that that's one of the overlooked elements of this situation.
I think that you're right. And I think that it's fair to give him a chance to come back from injury. I agree. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying how ridiculous it is to bring him back, how much of an injustice it is. All I was arguing was, you need to find a way to keep Turnbull in the rotation. That was my argument on Crossing Broad.
So you would, I want to get to Turnbull, but I'm almost like, okay, Walker, let's address Walker.
Yeah. Well, and so I'm going to guess what I'm thinking here is that, and I, you know, don't, this is kind of crazy, but because I also wouldn't go to a 6-man rotation, but I wouldn't be as opposed to keeping Turnbull in and taking Sanchez out temporarily.
Interesting.
Okay, just temporary, to get to see what Walker has, and I don't think this is going to be a long thing unless Walker's pitching really well. And I got to pull this up because I found it fascinating, because you know Dombrowski talked to Todd Zielecki out in Cincinnati, and. He had an interesting quote in the story about Walker, and he said, I got to pull it up because it was really fascinating. But basically, it was more like, you know, it almost sounds like it's a short leash. Because that's the most interesting thing to me. And I think that we got, when you look at it, and I'm not gonna be able to find it while I'm talking, I'll find it when you're talking. When you look at it and say, okay, we got to see what he's got here. We believe in him. We trust in him. But man, if he doesn't get it right in two or three starts, we're trying to win. Like,
is that the leash? You think it's three starts? Like, he goes out and he slops it up, throws 90, and he goes four innings, gives up six runs, and it that and he does that three times through, and they just say, "All right."
Yeah, I do. I think that that's a thing. I think that I don't think he's get. You know, I think that Turnbull has forced competition, and competition is always a good thing, right? It's always a good thing when you have multiple guys on the same team who are pushing for the same job and trying to, you know, beat each other out for it. It's friendly competition, but it's competition nevertheless. And if you're a team that maybe doesn't have the aspirations that the Phillies have, you can justify it one way or the other to say, well, hey, listen, we're paying this guy $72 million, so he's got to be out there. Or, you know, hey, you know, maybe we would like this guy. We want to take a longer look at this guy and keep him in the rotation, and, you know, we'll get to you eventually, Taiwan. But if your team is trying to win, you want to see what you have. And you're not going to give it a long look. You're not going to give it that long to figure yourself out. You're going to give it a, you know, let's see. Okay, we know after so many starts, boom. Either three starts in, he's pitching really well and he stays in the rotation, and then we figure something else out. Or three starts in, he's not pitching well. You're an expensive long man in the bullpen, Taiwan. Right. Sorry about your luck. And I really think that that's what it comes down to. So I think that that's the most important thing. I think they are going to give him a chance, and deservedly so. But at the same time, I don't think it's a long leash. I really don't.
It's interesting. So last season, he made 31 starts. The Phillies were 21 and 10. That's amazing. That's amazing. They were 21 and 10 in his 31 starts last year. He was 15 and 6, 4.38 ERA. He had a 13-game stretch from May 21st through July 31st, 13 starts. He was 9 and 2. The Phillies were 11 and 2 as a team. He had a 2.53 ERA. Opponents hit 2.14 against him with a 6.36 OPS.
Yeah.
Think about that. Let that sink in for a second. It's almost like we forgot that happened. It's almost like we totally forgot that even happened. I'm reading that right now, and I'm like, I knew he had a little stretch.
Yeah,
I realized it was a 13-game stretch, I thought it was sort of like one of those stretches where it was like, rocket, 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 everything's breaking his way, like, but whatever, we'll take it. And then you look at 2.14. I mean, I don't know.
I think if you go back and listen to an episode that we had back then, I think we were talking about him at one point as being a Phillies all-star. That's how crazy it was.
Like, maybe we acknowledge it in the moment, but by October, I don't think I realized that any of that happened.
Yeah, I agree. I think we were so caught up in just how poorly he was pitching, especially the start of games, that we just kind of forgot. I found that quote from Dombrowski. He said, this is his exact quote, and I think this is very telling. It's talking about Walker. Now it's up to him to go out and pitch well. Nothing comes in perpetuity, right? He's earned the ability to do that, but now he has to go out and perform. We think he will. If he doesn't, then we'll tackle it at that time. Like, that tells you right there, like, all right, pal, we're going to give you your chance because you've earned it. You earned your opportunity to get back in there, but you better pitch. That's how I read it, right?
Yeah.
I
mean,
you read the same, you hear that the same way? Okay, just making sure.
I think that's fair. But now you look at the Spencer Turnbull aspect of this, and I guess there's two different ways to look at this part of it.
Yeah.
There's part of you that talks about the innings limit, right? And this, I just look at it through the lens of being a competitor. So you're Spencer Turnbull, and you're saying to yourself, I've had some ups and downs in my career. Here I am. I've never been better. I'm on an all-time run here to even create this situation. And you're going to take the ball out of my hands?
Yeah.
You're really going to take the ball out of my hands while I'm doing this? You've got to be kidding me. And then you look at the clubhouse aspect of it. So while I think that there's some sympathy and understanding and probably want to by a lot of guys in there for Taiwan to get the ball, there's got to be a part of them that's like, yo, we're trying to win games And this guy gives us a great chance to do it. And he's competing his ass off. You see him the other night, he gave up one run and he's in the dugout going nuts. Cause he's like, I got lazy. I checked out. I was mad at myself. You know, I know I'm pitching well, but like that pitch was a mistake. I'm better than that. And as a guy on a team and you're trying to accomplish something here, you're like, man, like, are we really not going to let this guy rip right now? So, and then, you know, you look at it from his point of view, there's that, but I'm sure he also does understand innings limits are a thing. There is a scientific part of this. They are to some degree trying to protect their asset and my future. It is a very complicated situation. So I would ask you this, do you have like any concern about the innings limit? Or do you think like, this is a grown ass man, we're getting carried away with this, let him go.
So it's interesting. I'm going to give you a little tidbit. So after his second to last start, that was back here in Philadelphia. He had that almost no hitter that he threw. I asked him after the game about this very situation, and while he gave the right answer and he said the right things, when he was talking about the concern about an innings limit, he rolled his eyes at me, like almost like, come on, man. And I wouldn't expect it to be any, I wouldn't expect it to be any different, in all honesty, right? Because if you're a competitor at that level, you think you're invincible. You think that your body's going to be, you know, untouchable. You feel great and everything. Your adrenaline's flowing through his body at that point. You're feeling really good about yourself. And I say that with the caveat of it's very hard at this point to question the Phillies when it comes to keeping pitchers healthy. Because I look around all around baseball and I can't find another team who is as good at keeping their pitchers healthy as the Phillies are. And other than Andrew Painter, who was a 19-year-old trying to throw a pitch he probably shouldn't have, okay? The Phillies have not had, knock on wood, a significant pitching injury for at least the last 3 years. Maybe even longer. I mean, but I'm going back to 22 when they were, went to the World Series. 22, 23, and into 24. Since Caleb Cotham's arrived, they haven't had a significant pitching injury. So it's hard to argue when the Phillies say there needs to be a pitching limit that maybe is, when a guy hasn't only thrown so many innings, maybe you only go 40 to 50 more max the next season to keep the guy healthy. I don't know. I don't know the science of it. I'm not a biologist.
By the way, like he's 31. He's not 25.
Yes, I know.
He's been in the game since 2018. He's only thrown in parts of this being his sixth professional season. He's only thrown more than 60 innings one time in his career.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, look at this. You go back to 2020. Certainly everyone was in the same boat there, but 56 innings. 21, he threw 50 innings. 22, he didn't pitch. 23, he threw 31 innings, like at the major league level.
Yeah, but he only threw another 20, I think it was, in the minors, or 20-something in the minors, yeah.
It's tough. I mean, as a 31-year-old to just be like, here you go, we want you to triple your workload here and go to somewhere that you haven't been since 2019.
No, it's fair, and it's a fair thing. The one thing I argue is for years and years and years, guys came back off of that were injured, came back off of an injury like a Tommy John, where they missed a long time and they were able, they may not have been like they're 100% themselves the first year after the injury, but they were still able to throw innings, right? They didn't re-injure themselves. They didn't, whatever. And I think sometimes we do use a little bit too much kid gloves with pitchers. But I think it's worth considering pushing this a little bit. And so that's why I said, like, I wouldn't be opposed, and it's no knock on Christopher Sanchez, but I think it's a little bit different to say, hey, Christopher Sanchez, you've struggled a little bit your last couple of starts. You're having a hard time with that sinker. Let's get you in the bullpen, get that right in some lower leverage situations. And then you're probably going to come back and pitch in the rotation again. And it's easier to say that to a younger guy. You're not sending him down. You're just kind of putting him in, he's staying on the roster. And you're just kind of retooling him a little bit and keep Turnbull going. And then if one of them drops off, either Walker or Turnbull, boom, Sanchez is right back in there and nothing has changed and everybody's happy. I just think that's an easier path to go. And you know what? It's interesting, Bob, not to say that I think this is going to happen, but that's how I would do it. But the Phillies, interestingly enough, have avoided saying publicly that they're taking Turnbull out of the rotation. And I'm curious as to why. Like, it just, like, we're all, it, the reporters who have been out there, like, we've been talking about it for over a week now, a week and a half. You know, when we were at home, we were talking about it. We wrote about it. But even in Cincinnati, it got a little bit more, obviously, with Turnbull's latest start, and everybody's writing about it. Gelb wrote about it, and Zalecki wrote about it. And they're all saying, well, yeah, the Phillies aren't saying, but he's going to end up back in the bullpen. So you know that they're talking to people quietly, saying, yeah, we're putting him back in the bullpen. But why won't they say it? Like, why won't they the Phillies come out and say it? Like, to me, there's something there that either suggests we're not 100% confident in Walker coming back, or we understand that we have to figure out a way to keep him in the rotation, and we're gonna come up with something, but let's let it play out.
Couldn't you even just buy one turn through the rotation right now where you say, these guys are pitching a ton of innings. They're getting deep into games. We're having a hard time getting to our bullpen in meaningful spots. Let's go to six guys this turn through. And you just buy yourself another 7 days.
Yeah, you would, but don't. I guess the only problem is the timing of it, because there are two off days coming up.
Yeah, true.
That's the only reason. Not like if this was a week ago, I think they would have gone to a six man rotation. Yeah. I think it's just the timing of where it falls in the calendar that, you know.
I mean, Aaron Nola's gone into the eighth inning now, three straight starts. I hasn't done that in 3 years. So you could in that, just in a vacuum, you could kind of say, yeah, you know what? Let's give you an extra day.
Yeah.
All right. I actually am on a little bit of a time limit here. So if you want to go to one last thing, and we'll wrap it up.
Bob, one last thing. And I always get fascinated by New York baseball and how things are going up there. There is a we sat here and we for the last couple episodes, like, oh my God, Nick Castellanos can't hit anymore. What the hell? You got to get him out of the lineup. Have you seen what Aaron Judge's numbers have looked like so far this year?
I have seen Aaron Judge's numbers so far this year. Yes.
He's batting 178.
Yeah, 178. I actually was going to, if we had more time and dug into the Braves a little bit more, I wanted to bring up Austin Riley's start. But
yes, there's a lot of guys like that around baseball this year who've gotten off to just terrible starts that are star type players. What do you make of it? Like, you know, they got a couple of big series coming up here in the next week or so. And he's really, really struggling. Like, what do you do with a guy like that? You know, it's one thing when you say, should they pull Nick Castellanos out of the lineup with the track record he has? And you say, well, let him grind through it. But man, what do you do with an Aaron Judge when you're talking about a player of that caliber?
Yeah, I mean, not that he's always been a little bit of a high strikeout guy, but he's already struck out 35 times in 27 games. I mean, he struck out in 35 of his 101 at bats so far this year. You know, he's still on pace for well over 100 walks. So the on base percentage is still .317, even though he's only hitting .178. But it has been a slow start for him. I just feel like we talk about Castellanos, and I would make the argument as bad as it's been. And I know he homered last night, and, you know, hooray. But everyone homered last night. I think you just have to let guys that have that track record, and certainly Aaron Judge is the Yankees' best bet. You just have to try to let the guy swing his way through it, as bad as it is. But, and I think he will. You know, and I think Nick, to some degree, not to the Aaron Judge extent, but will get that opportunity and come out of it. But man, there are, as you said, a number of guys this season who are just having really strange goes of it right now. It's been weird.
Yeah, it really has. They're in the middle of a 7-game road trip against Milwaukee and Baltimore.
Yeah.
And that's a tough run for the Yankees. Like, they could drop off if things don't go well for them over the stretch of these 7 games.
Yeah, they split at home a 4-game series with the A's, and then they lose an 11 last night. So I mean, they're still 17-10. They have the same record as the Phillies, and we're talking about how good the Phillies have been.
Yeah, but they got off to an incredible
start.
They were 12-3, I believe. And so they're 5-7 in their last 12, and you're starting to think, uh-oh, what's wrong with this team? And it's a lot of it is the fact that Judge is not hitting. And you're counting on that team's counting on Judge and Soto to carry them. And Soto's been great, but Judge has been far from it.
Yeah. Well, I would say, listen, I don't want to, I'm not going to prop them up too much, but I give the A's some credit. at 11 yes. and 16, they, like I said, they just split out in a four game series with the Yankees coming east. And then they go last night down one in the ninth and they get a win on the road at Baltimore. And you know how both of us feel about the Orioles, but you know what happened last night, right? You know what happened last night?
What do you got?
Old friend Craig Kimbrell.
Ah, blown yes.
save.
Yeah, blown save last night.
A good friend of mine is a huge Orioles fan, and he's like, Kimbrell's been really good for us. I was like, you just wait, buddy.
Yeah, it's funny because we talk about the A's, and the A's have graduated, I think, Bob, from utter disaster to bad team who can win some games every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what they've graduated to that level.
And before we get out of here, congratulations to the Chicago White Sox who
snapped
a 7-game losing streak last night with a big win over the Rays. So and Zach Eflin, I believe, started that game for the Rays. So
yeah,
how about that?
Yeah, that's something. That's
all right. Well, the Phillies have two more against the Padres here before they take on the Angels, who are playing bad baseball all of a sudden.
Yep.
Mike Trout's going to be out of there this summer. He's going to be out of there this summer. He is.
WIP is starting this whole thing.
I know. That commercial, that promo is absolutely horrible, where it's like the, you know, that song where it's like, I'm coming home. And it's like, out, Trout. I'm like,
it's terrible.
But I do wonder, man. Like it looks like it's heading south for that team again, and he's off to a fantastic start. So it should be interesting to see what happens there next week when the Phillies and Angels play. All right. So for Anthony Sanfilippo, I'm Bob Wankel. Thanks for checking out Crossed Up. We'll be back next week. Talk soon.